So that's what it felt like for me coming back to work this week. But no, seriously, looking forward to a great year. Lots of good things planned, lots of good things ahead. It should be an amazing year together. As a church, we send out a lot of messages in a lot of different ways. Julia just talked about our friendship card, and if you're new, we encourage you to write your email address or your mobile number so that we can contact you, because we contact different people in different ways with different sorts of messages. We email, we print rosters and hand paper copies out, we send text messages to people, we do all those sort of things. Because we have different messages that we want to get across. We want to let you know when you're on something. We want to let you know when something's on at the church. We want to encourage you to pray for things. We have different messages that we want to get out to you in the life of the church. And I know, because I've done it too, I'm on the list, but sometimes those messages aren't read. And we know because people don't turn up for their roster, or they didn't know that particular event was on. They didn't know a certain sort of news in the life of the church that was going on. And why is that? Well, sometimes we get busy. Sometimes, oh, I didn't get that message. Well, actually, I did get that message, but I didn't read it. Actually, I did get the message and I did read it, but I forgot. And that happens. So, you know, we hope this year we can, all do as good a job as we can to read our messages, to get our messages, to receive our messages, to respond to our messages. But did you know that God is in the message business as well? God wants to communicate with us and has communicated with us in all sorts of different ways. In the Bible, it's full of historical records of things that are happening, people, examples of people and the way they lived their life. There's poetry and proverbs and songs and letters and direct instructions, even quotes from the Son of God, Jesus himself. There's all sorts of ways that God has used to try to communicate his message to us. And it's a varied message. It is basically trying to get us to live in harmony with his will, to try to understand what he would want out of our lives. It's the things that we can believe, the things that we can hold on to, that we know are truths that have been revealed from God. And God has so many different messages that he wants to communicate with us. But do we read them? Well, I didn't get that. Oh, well, I did get it, I just didn't read it. Well, I read it, but I just didn't follow it. And in the same way that we as a church try to communicate our messages to people, God is trying to communicate his message to us. And maybe it's because of the competing ideas that we have, maybe it's just because of lack of time. I don't believe people are taking the Bible as seriously as they should and reading it for all it's worth. Jess McGrath interviewed me for the Changes magazine this week because towards the end of the year I celebrated 30 years since I graduated from Bible college, 30 years in ministry full time. And it's just been amazing to think back on the different people that I've met, 23 years since Bonnie and I started here, 7 years in Mooloolambah, and I rang a family in the church recently. There was a bereavement in the church, and I was just finding out, and I was just thinking back over those 30 years of all the different people that I've met, and thinking about this idea of the Bible. And maybe some people couldn't perhaps express it as I would, but I know there'd be so many people positively that could say, because I took the Bible seriously, because I took God at his word and I read it and I followed it, it has saved me from so much heartache and hassle in my life. I didn't make the same mistakes that some of my peers made. But I know so many other people too, people that I've met that again might not be able to express it in the terms that I would say for them. Their life has been disastrous because they haven't taken the Bible seriously, because they haven't looked at what God's Word says and done it. And because they've done that, they've made mistakes. They've wrecked their lives. They've had challenges with their finances and relationships and all sorts of other things in ways that they didn't need to if they had taken God seriously. Talked to various family members and extended families, and we had our Christmas catch-up on Boxing Day. And talking to extended family who'd talked to others, and they knew that our family were Christians, although theirs weren't, and they were quite knocking Christians. And I said to my brother at one stage, I said, you just feel like saying to them, well, how's that working out for you? And he talked about extended family and other family and in-laws and outlaws and all that have had all sorts of hassles in their lives and relationship challenges and abuse and drug and alcohol issues. And they're knocking Christians. And it's like, well, how's that working out for you? You've rejected God's word. And how is life any better for you? And many of us, maybe we would do a lot of things differently if we'd taken God's word seriously. We would disagree differently. We would fight differently. We'd do so many things differently if we took God's word seriously. What I want to look at today is how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Next week we launch, and I really encourage you to be here next Sunday, because this is our big Sunday where all our groups go back. We want to commission all our leaders and those in areas of responsibility for the year, but really set the scene, and I want to paint a picture of what we can expect for White Hill Church of Christ in 2017. But just as a one-off sermon today, I want to look at this issue of how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And what I want to look at is a passage from James, the brother of Jesus. Before I dig into that, I think it's really important to look at who James is. James is the brother of Jesus. I want to ask you, most of you would have a sibling. Most of you would have a brother or a sister, right? What would it take for you to be convinced that your brother or sister was the Messiah, the Son of God? Now, some of you already have a brother or a sister who thinks they're the Messiah, or they act like it anyway, and they're just really painful. And that's how James thought of Jesus initially. He must have complained, and it must have sounded really strange, the complaints. Oh, Jesus, he's really hard to live with. Why? Oh, he cleans his room all the time, and he's always perfect, never gets in trouble, gets top at school. He's such a pain. Oh, okay. But James and all the other brothers and sisters of Jesus, it says in the Gospels, they thought he was mad. They went to commit him at one stage because they thought he was crazy. Because he's not the Son of God, he's just their brother. He's their big brother. But James came to the point of being utterly convinced at who Jesus was. He became one of the leadership group in the church in Jerusalem. He had changed his tune on Jesus. As someone from a skeptic to someone who really embraced what Jesus was about, what the other apostles were doing, and embraced that so much, it must be something that he wrote that we really need to take into account. Because he has been across the spectrum of belief. He went from a skeptic to a believer, to a real leader. And so the things that he says, I think, carry real weight to help us to understand the background of where James had come from. So this is what he says in his letter, James 1 from verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So let's have a look at some of the key points that James, the brother of Jesus, makes. And of course we're looking into it because they didn't have the Bible in those days, but there was enough apostles writing stuff that was respected. So let's look at what James says about how to do this, to read the Bible for all it's worth. Firstly, and if you have your outline, fill in these as we go through. Firstly, simply to receive it. It sounds very basic, sounds very obvious, but to read the Bible for all it's worth, we have to be prepared to receive it. Verse 21, James says there, to accept the word planted in you. And this word for accept in the Greek means to welcome, to bring on in, to invite someone in. You know, the queen will receive you now. That type of thing is what James is saying. To be prepared to accept, to bring in the word of God to us. We must welcome it into our lives. And he says it's like the word of God is planted in you. It's like a seed that's planted in your heart. And all the way through Scripture, the Bible is described as this word that is a seed. In 2017, and I'll sort of blow a bit of my thunder for next week, but what you're going to hear a lot of is this word, thrive. We believe that as a church we can be a lot more fruitful, bloom, multiply, bearing fruit for God. And this will be a major theme that will come through a lot of what we do in 2017. We believe that because people are spending a lot of time, most time outside of church, at your 9-to-5, Monday to Friday jobs, you can be fruitful on your front line, whatever that is. That we believe there's scope for us to improve in our own lives to bear fruit for God. And James is talking about this here, that as we accept the word of God that is planted in you, it will bear much fruit. And it's strange sometimes that seeds that are planted in different areas can bear, you know, different types of fruit. Sometimes the crops are different in terms of their size. And often it's the soil. One soil is prepared, one soil is prepared to accept it, and like in the parable that Jesus told, sometimes there's competing things in other soils. And we've got to be prepared in our own hearts to accept, to receive the word of God that is planted in us. It talks about hearing the word of God. And sometimes, like in old age, we get deaf. So we need some hearing aids. So here's four hearing aids to help us hear the word of God, to accept it, that's planted in us. One is be attentive. To be attentive. In verse 19 it says, be quick to listen. And sometimes we are so busy talking, we are so busy filling our minds with other things that we're not paying attention to what God is saying when we're reading His Word. It's the old saying that God gave us two ears and one mouth. Bonnie and I like different sorts of movies. Talking to someone about movies this morning. Some people like them, some people hate them. Here's just a scene from a stupid movie. I'm not saying recommend it. It's called Master of Disguise. And who's seen Master of Disguise? It's a guy dresses up and he's got all sorts of characters. But this is a little clip from Master of Disguise. Let's run this.
I think it's time for you to put a squeeze on your chat box.
What? This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Any questions?
Did you just tell me to shut up?
Yes, you catch on straight away.
I'm not saying that God is saying this. But this is what you are doing. This is what I want you to do. Any questions? And sometimes, as I said, we're so busy talking or there's so much stuff going on, we're not attentive to what God's word is saying. Number two, hearing aid, not angry. To be able to listen, to hear the word of God, to accept it. It's funny how emotions, whatever's going on in our lives to deal with stuff, it stops us often from getting into what the Bible is saying. And that's why I sometimes use humor like that to relax people, because if there's stuff going on, if you're angry, if there's other sort of negative emotions going on, it's hard to receive what God's word is saying. So we've got to be not angry to receive what God is saying to us. Number three, unadulterated. And to adulterate something is to mix something in, to add something that shouldn't be there. Verse 21, James says, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. But sometimes when you plant a seed, you do a bit of weeding, you get rid of stuff to be able to help the seed be accepted in the soil. And in the same way, we need to get rid of stuff in our lives sometimes if we're going to hear what God's word is saying. And that word for moral filth, some of the commentators note that this is a word that is connected with the word for earwax. We'll show a picture of some earwax. No, we won't. You know the deal. You know how yucky that is. But when that's there, you know, you hear a bit different, you go swimming and it's, you know, all that stuff going on. Well, the Bible says if you've got moral stuff like that, you've got a vested interest in not hearing what God's word is saying. So you've got to get rid of that to be unadulterated, not mix some of those other things with your life so that you can receive what God's word is saying. And the fourth one is not arrogant. Not arrogant. Sometimes if we think we already know, we're not going to receive what God says he knows. If we have that prideful attitude, we're not going to be able to be changed, to be humble. That's what it says there, humbly accept the word of God planted in you. And when we act like we already know it, we're not going to be able to receive what God knows and what God is best for us. Because it's hard in this day and age. We live in a world where more and more people are skeptical of what the Bible is saying. There's a less acceptance that this is God's word for us. And so I believe we've got to change our attitude and help other people change their attitude to how important the word of God really is. So the Bible says if you're going to be blessed, if you're going to get the most out of reading the Bible, we've got to receive it. So not only receive it, but point number two is reflect on it. To reflect on it. Verse 23, James says, anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself immediately goes away and forgets what he looks like. So the idea of the Word of God is that you see yourself in there. There's two ways that we can see ourselves, what we actually look like. One's a photograph and one's a mirror. Now, if you've had a photograph taken, if you've had a nice portrait done, you know, probably you primped and preened and polished yourself up as much as you could. And of course, no one looks at their face in a photograph in the morning and says, boy, I look good. I don't need to change anything. You know, that doesn't happen. We look at our face in the mirror. We see what damage was done overnight. We see how we can get rid of that because we see ourselves for what we really are. And Bible reading does that for us too. The purpose of the mirror is to evaluate, to see what needs changing, to see what needs combing, to see what needs covering up. And so often when we read the Bible, we see ourselves in it. We see in the examples of people what we are like. We read about Peter and being full on and jumping out of the boat. Yeah, I'm like that. I'm bull at a gate sometimes. And we see Martha so busy fussing, not prepared to sit down and stop and listen at the feet of Jesus. Martha, Martha, Martha. We see ourselves with wandering eyes like King David. We see ourselves jealous of our siblings like Cain. We read these stories and we see ourselves. If we reflect, if we take time to listen and to learn about what's going on in our lives. And I think a lot of the times people don't read the Bible is that they're afraid. They're afraid to face themselves. So some things there are of importance. Let me add another one. To actually reflect it, you've got to read it. Again, this seems so simple. Verse 25, James says, the man who looks intently. It's easy to just skim over something, but it's like evangelism. Why don't we see as many people come to Christ as we want? Because we're not actually doing evangelism. What's the greatest cause of unanswered prayer? Unasked prayer, because we don't actually pray for it. Jesus said, you do not have because you do not ask. What's the greatest reason people don't do what they say in the Bible? Because they don't know what's in the Bible. And to read it, to even go further than that, look intently, to study, to dig into it a little bit. That word that James uses is used when Peter goes into the tomb on Resurrection Sunday and the stone's already rolled away and he looks intently into what's inside there. It's to be able to look intently into the Bible. God's Word can be our teacher. The sermon that is a big part of our church every Sunday, that's some Bible teaching, and we hope to do it in such a way that can give you things to grab on. But just in your own personal Bible reading, the Bible can be a teacher. So fill in these as we go through. Rather than just us being a teacher up here, you can ask yourself these questions when you read. Letter T stands for, is there a truth to believe? You read something, you say, is there a truth for me to believe, to grab onto? The truth about we're all made in God's image. Wow, that's an important truth. You look at everyone in the world. Sometimes they fall far short of what God's image is. But it's still a fundamental truth to believe that they're made in God's image. We can read some things and ask yourself, is this a truth that I need to believe? Letter E is an example to follow. Jesus told the story, who had real pity on him. Then the Good Samaritan, he said, go and do likewise. What are those areas where we read and we should go and do likewise? That Jesus left an example that we should follow in his steps, the way he forgave people, the way he's kind and compassionate to people. What are the things that we see in the Bible when we read it that's an example for us to follow? Letter A, is there an attitude that we need to change? We see ourselves, the disciples arguing with each other or something like that, and okay, maybe there's an attitude there where we're always chipping at each other and I want to be the best, and I want the best place. Well, what are the attitudes in Scripture that we see that are like ours that we might need to change? Let us see, is there a command to obey? Sometimes, Jesus just lets it out there. You've got to do this. You have to. Are there commands there that we're avoiding? H, is there a hope to cling to? Sometimes it's not just things that we need to do, but just, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always. Through the fire and through the rain, God says. Is there a hope like that when we're going through tough times? That it's not something that we need to do necessarily, but just a hope that we can cling on to, that this is a promise that will apply to us. Letter E, is there an error to correct? Maybe we've had this idea, we've had this thought, we've come to our own conclusions based on the experiences we've had in life, and it's just wrong. And we read it in the Bible, and it's an error that we've had, and something we're doing or something we're believing that needs to be corrected. And letter R, is there a response to make? Is there something actually we need to do? We can believe it, we can theorize about it, but what are we going to do about it? What are you doing And again, from time to time in the sermons, we're trying to ask you, what's the one takeaway? What's the thing we can do as a result of what we read? So that's how you look intently in the Word of God, to look at the details, to read it, but also to review it. You know, just because you've read it once doesn't mean that you can't go over it again. And I find, again, after 30 years of ministry, one of the beauties of the Bible is you can read stuff and it speaks to you again, afresh and new, even after a long time. I was thinking of one I've shared with the staff, and I'll share in a few places about the parables that Jesus told in Luke about the lost son and the lost coin, the lost sheep. And it says there at one stage that God rejoices more over one person who repents than 99 people who don't need to. That God is 100 times happier to see someone who's outside of the faith come to faith more than 100 people that don't need to even. And that just struck me with new force. It's something that hit me as I reviewed it. And that's the beauty of the Bible. You can read it over again and it continues to speak to you. Sometimes it's in meditation. You know, if we take a thought that's negative and go over and over again, that's worry. Take a truth of the Scripture and go over and over again, that's meditation. To meditate on God's Word, to review it. And the third one is remember it. And it might be Scripture memorization, but, you know, we tend to remember certain things. We know the things that are close to our heart really well. Are we as good at doing that with the Bible? Verse 25, James says, not forgetting what he has heard. And some people have found it really beneficial to have that discipline of reading, reflecting, and remembering the Bible by memorizing it. One of the things that we do here is that the notes that I prepared for you, and most weeks we will do that. I read a study that says most people remember stuff better when they take down notes. When they're actually not just listening to it, not just looking at it by reading it, but when they're actually writing it down as well, even more than taking notes on a computer. That there's something about our brain that's wired to actually, when it's written down, we're able to remember it. And it's almost a catch-22 that people who take notes in university don't actually have to look at their notes again because they remember it better than if they didn't write it down. But they don't have to read it when they write it down because in writing it down, they remember it. Does that make sense? So let me encourage you, write it down and you will remember it better to practice it. Where are we? Verse 22, don't merely listen to the word, what the word says, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And the third one is respond to it. Respond to it. Again, we've said that before. What is the thing that we can do out of this? And maybe out of the sermon, it's things like get onto a Bible reading plan. There's lots of good ones online. There's lots of online ones that you can get to. And it's more than just reading, more than just reflecting. It's what can we do about it? What one thing will I do as a response to this? That word for listen, don't just merely listen. You know, auditory. We have auditors in the church who will go through our books. Now, they don't actually do the books. When we give it to the auditor, they just look. They don't change anything. They're just looking at it. And unfortunately, God has a lot of auditors who are looking, who aren't prepared to do anything. When you audit a class, sometimes you can just sit in and listen. You don't have to actually do the work. You don't have to do the assessment. You don't have to do the assignment. You just do it for audit. And sometimes that's good to, you know, expand yourself and your learning, but there's a lack of commitment of actually doing the assignments because you're just doing it for audit. God has a lot of people doing the Bible for audit. They know it. It's just not changing. So of all the things that we do and some of the new emphases that we have, we want to make sure that people get into reading the Bible for all it's worth, because it is dynamite. It is able to change our lives, not just to merely listen to it. When we have a knowledge about it, it increases our responsibility to do something with it. And yes, there's a lot of things that are difficult to understand in the Bible. But someone said it's not the things that I don't understand that turn me off the Bible, it's the things that I do understand. Because it's challenging. Because we know what we should be doing about it. Don't worry about the things you don't understand. There's plenty of things that you do understand that you're not doing. So let's make a commitment this year to read the Bible for all it's worth. We will help you as pastors and leaders to teach the Word of God in a way that is simple and practical but still has a depth underneath it. And if you can add that with your own personal Bible reading, your faith will grow. The Word of God that's planted in you will bear fruit this year. Let's pray.